He's a fucking tool.
Yeah.
And she, and as conservative as she is, she can tell he's a fucking tool. Yep. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about politics. With the Iowa caucuses happening, we talk about our opinions, which are pretty liberal, so if you're a Trump or Cruz supporter, you might want to check back with us next week.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
I'm me.
It's true.
And we are going to talk about a topic that is really, it's going to be a big deal this year.
Yeah.
It's 2016. It's an election year. We're going to talk politics. It's, this is going up. A week from when we record. Is the Iowa caucus going to have happened yet? Or
Iowa caucus February is February 1st.
So, yeah.
So, it'll be the day after the Iowa caucus. We don't know what happened.
Nope.
We're going to speculate. We're going to talk about kind of where we are politically right now and look at a little bit about what the three of us think and be interested to hear your thoughts. I mean, I think it's fair to say the three of us are fairly progressive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We probably have some, we have some difference of opinion on a few subjects, but for the most part, I think, the three of us are looking at the Democratic Party ticket and not the Republicans. Although I want to spend a little time.
Oh yeah. I want to talk about those.
I think, I'm planning on voting in the primaries because.
Which in Minnesota is March 1st.
Right.
And it's a caucus.
It's a Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Yep. And it's a caucus. Yep.
Yeah.
And so because I'm excited about Bernie Sanders, and I think it matters, and I think that
we are missing a Bernie Sanders rally as we record.
Yeah, he's in St. Paul right now as we record. We have friends there like David Taylor and Kirsten, and Kyle Decker, friends of the show.
Some friends of the show are at the.
They're all at that
indeed.
Bernie rally,
and I hope they're having a great time.
Yeah,
I will offer my overarching thing about president.
All right.
About the president of the United States. I accept my bias. I won't ever vote Republican, and there are some very important reasons for that. Number one, the Republican Party is against a woman's right to choose, and I just can't get past that. Can't get past the way the Republican Party treats gays.
Mm-hmm. They are literally against gay marriage. They have it in their platform.
I can't get past the way the Republican Party is in bed with conservative Christianity.
Agreed.
Those are three issues where the Republican Party and I will never see eye to eye.
They're... Climate change denial.
Climate change denial. Yep. Another.
That's another part of their platform.
They're opposed
to admitting.
They're very anti-science. So the question for me is really not whether or not I'm going to vote liberal, it's whether or not I'm going to vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
And in the president election, I think the president for all the importance we place on the president doesn't do a ton. The president can sign bills that come from Congress, and that means you know I want a Democratic president because they won't sign the bills that are really bad.
Yep.
And I want a Democratic president. The most important thing to me for a Democratic president is they appoint Supreme Court justices.
That's right. I was just going to say that. And there's a lot of justice. There are several justices poised to retire soon.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is awesome, and she ain't getting any younger.
Yep, yep.
And you don't want her replaced with another Samuel Alito or Clarence Thomas.
God help us.
Scalia.
Yeah,
Scalia and Thomas are the worst.
Yeah.
Although Alito is quietly as bad as the two of them.
Yeah, he's the pail they carry their grudges in.
He's just nicer about being a complete asshole.
Yeah.
So, to me... You know, it's like, I like Sanders. I will vote for Hillary if she ends up being the nominee.
I see.
Because there needs to be a Democrat in the White House in order to preserve a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
In order to ensure that gays keep the rights that they've won over the last few years, there needs to be somebody in the White House who's going to replace the people on the Supreme Court with the right people. To me, the Supreme Court is... all the marbles right now.
What makes me the most, so back in the day when I was younger and more naive, I would have said that I wouldn't vote for Hillary because I don't want her to be president, and I didn't believe at that time in voting for someone that I didn't think should be president, regardless of what that might have meant. And then the 2000 election happened.
The lesser of evils.
Yes. Yeah. And then the 2000 election happened, and I voted my conscience, and I voted for Ralph Nader because I did not want Al Gore to be president, because I didn't think he was up to the task, and I didn't like what he had to say, and I disagreed with a few of his policies, and then Bush won. And I'm not saying that was my fault, but it was people like me that ended up splitting that vote. And so I'm with you. Like, I do not want Hillary Clinton to be president. I don't think she'd be a good president. I don't like her, and I don't trust her because she has proven herself untrustworthy over the years.
In your defense, voting for Nader in Minnesota didn't change anything.
That's true. But at the same time, it's frustrating to feel that way. But I feel very much, I think this is very similar, obviously not just because of the Hillary Clinton parallel, but to 2008. With Obama, and when he was, you know, this out of nowhere, you know, person, and they were saying very similar things about Obama that they're saying about Sanders, which is
unelectable,
like naive followers who are young. Oh, sure. Like, he makes a lot of great promises that sound so great, but he's not actually going to get elected. And if you put him up against someone like John McCain, who's a powerhouse, there's no way he can win. And I
think Sanders can win.
I think so, too.
I think it's going to be tougher, but I think it kind of depends on who the Republicans nominate. Because honestly, if the Republicans nominate Trump, and I got to be really clear, Trump, to as much as the most of the rest of them are complete douchebags mm-hmm. in terms of the policies, the stuff that I really care about.
Oh yeah, they're all fucking monsters. Yeah. I mean, but they Trump, really truly are.
Trump, there's. I think a cascade of disasters if Trump gets elected. Mm-hmm. It's not just the Supreme Court thing there, because the other thing that's important for the president is international relations. Mm-hmm. And Trump is going to be a disaster.
Yes.
He already is.
Yeah.
He's already painting the perceptions of Americans abroad. Did you guys watch the YouTube video of... I think it was British Parliament.
British Parliament debating whether or not they would ban him from...
And the things they said about him?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think anyone wants that representing us.
They're using his quotes in, like, ISIS or Daesh recruiting videos. Yeah. Like this is what someone who could be president is saying about Muslims.
Right. I think if... Regardless of what you think of Bernie Sanders' social... democratic mm-hmm. Like economic policies or opinions, like you said, Tim, a president can't write laws.
Yep.
So he can't do anything but say he'll sign bills and encourage Congress to move to something like a single payer system
much as I support a single payer system.
And as an executive, he does have some control over how things that would be affected by executive orders, like government schools.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He does have some control over that, but I think one of the things he'll be great at that I would love to see in a president that I've never seen in my life, voting or not, is a president who will do everything they can to not get us into violent conflicts abroad. And he said that that's a huge part of his, you know, campaign.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. You go ahead, Molly. Okay.
I was just going to say on that note, I'm looking at this Washington Post article that's talking about, most of what it talks about is how generally Democrats are being told, if you want to vote with your head, you're going to vote for Hillary. But if you vote with your heart, you'll go Bernie because, you know, he's got emotional appeal. But what this article is saying is, however, it wasn't Sanders' emotional appeal, but his clear-sightedness that led The Nation magazine to make only its third presidential endorsement in a primary in its 150-year history. So just let that sink in, that this 150-year-old magazine about politics has only ever three times made a presidential endorsement in a primary, and they're going with Sanders as their third time. It doesn't. But this is an example that I just want to read here. For example, foreign policy is considered Clinton's strength. When terrorism hits the headlines, she gains in the polls. Yet the worst calamity in U.S. foreign policy since Vietnam was surely George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq. Clinton voted for that war. Sanders got it right and voted against. Clinton has since admitted her vote was, quote, a mistake, but has seemed to have learned little from that grievous misjudgment. As Secretary of State, she championed regime change in Libya that left behind another failed state, rapidly becoming a backup base for the Islamic State. She pushed for toppling Bashar al-Assad in the Syrian civil war, lobbied for arming the Syrian opposition. Now she totes a no-fly zone in Syria, even though the Joint Chiefs of Staff has dismissed that. It's this idea that, like, she's all surface, because she'll say, I'm the candidate that's all about foreign policy. It's like, well, okay, but just that's just because you were Secretary of State, so you feel like you know more, but you made disastrous mistakes.
Well, she's also the candidate for women.
And see, that makes me...
Just as much as Bernie.
He is actually more of a candidate for women. He's voted for more rights for more women, if you count gay women, than Hillary Clinton has.
She supported DOMA, that's true.
She sure as shit did support DOMA, and never fucking forget it. It's really important that she didn't change her policy on that until the tide turned socially, and the majority of people started feeling different.
Now, to be fair, Obama was in the same camp.
That's fine. I'm not talking about Obama. I'm talking about Sanders. I know.
and Paul Wellstone.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people I admire who got that wrong. So yep. They got it wrong because and that's why politics is such a fucked up game. Mm-hmm. Politics is a fucked up game because there is so much capital in making some of these decisions, in whether or not you can get reelected, that you know, Wellstone chose to vote for the Defense of Marriage Act because he felt he couldn't get reelected, and he was like, I can't do any good if I'm not reelected, and he felt that he felt terrible about making that decision.
Not that terrible though.
Well, oh,
he, I mean, how terrible could he have felt because he made the decision?
Ask him now.
I know.
He said it at the time that he felt terrible about it. And Clinton claimed to feel terrible to sign the bill.
Listening from outside of Minnesota, I don't know if they're going to be super familiar with Paul Wellstone.
Yeah, that's maybe true. Wellstone was a senator from Minnesota. Yeah. He was very liberal.
He was originally a Green Party candidate and then was endorsed by the Democratic Party.
How about something? Yeah. Okay, let's.
But I do remember what I was going to say. The one thing to remember about, like, executive orders, and again, here's where the Supreme Court becomes the key, and I really think it is the key, because right now, there's a case moving to the Supreme Court about Obama's executive orders mm-hmm. about immigration and mm-hmm. whether or not that's constitutional. Now, presidents have made executive orders since the office of the president has been created. Mm-hmm. These executive orders are getting challenged. And if the Supreme Court goes against Obama's executive order, okay, that is going to mean that every single executive order that gets made is going to get challenged.
Yep.
Every single one. And granted,
Court is taking into account when they think about their workload.
I would hope. and granted, if it's a Republican president, maybe that makes those of us that are progressive super happy mm-hmm. that an executive order is going to get challenged every time. Except most of the time, executive orders are done to expedite something because it needs to get done.
Right. What's really interesting to me is that that's going to have to get decided before the court knows from which party the president will be. So there's a conservative, you know, majority, as it were, since can't think of his name, it's usually the swing vote, and he's
Kennedy.
Yeah, thank you. And he goes both ways. But since they don't know, like, they all have to really vote what they actually think. And I hope
that Kennedy is the one who goes, you know what, I'm not going to create a precedent that says the president can't do executive orders.
All the court's
going to be doing is reviewing presidential executive orders. Yeah. Or the court's going to be saying the president can't make executive orders anymore. And then you've got to go back and look at all the executive orders that presidents have made over the years and go, do we really think that all of these should have been vacated?
Yeah, I don't know that they'd vacate or just cancel going forward. That's insane to think about.
Well, but and the idea that you would go back and go, we could create this precedent that says all of these orders should have been vacated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Molly said, you don't know which party is going to win going forward. I think if you look at the statisticians that are usually, that are historically, like, incredibly right, even 100% accuracy within the last four or five elections, they're all pointing towards a Democratic victor, regardless of Bernie or
Clinton. It's a long way to go.
It's because there's no normal Republican candidate. They're all insane.
If Trump
I mean, there's usually one where I'm like, well, that's the guy we got to be careful about, because that guy seems like a reasonable human being who's smart. I feel so dumb. I can't think of who it was in 2000.
Romney.
Not 2008. Romney. Anyone. All those guys. McCain, Romney.
Romney was insane. He was a Mormon.
Was a Mormon, but just that's the only part of him that was that crazy. He was bad, but like at least I was like, oh, that guy's dangerous. With Trump, I mean, Trump is like, I can't even talk about him. He has no political experience. The fact that we have an ability in this country for anyone who is just anything to be president if they get enough money and votes is insane to me.
I think it shows how broken things
people
are.
People keep talking about, well, he'll run the country like a business. And like, nobody understands government and business are different things.
I think he'll quit. I was saying this before we started. I genuinely think that if he gets elected president, if Trump wins the nomination and wins and is elected president,
he will quit.
It will never happen. But I think he'll quit within two years.
He'll pale out. If Trump gets the nomination, and I think there's a very strong chance he will. Mm-hmm. 2 months ago, I would have told you different. I would have said as the other candidates drop out, their support's going to flip to somebody not Trump. Mm-hmm. But now Trump's support is getting so high among Republicans, I think he's got a really good chance of getting the nomination. If he gets the nomination, the thing that I don't think Trump can get is I think there's going to be about half the Republicans who can't stomach voting for him.
Yeah. Huh.
They won't be able to vote for the Democrat, so they'll stay home.
Yep.
I don't know any libertarians who like him.
No.
So none of your libertarians.
Because he's insane.
Because he's not just insane. Here's what I think he is. He's a bully.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a bully. And he's a racist.
But I think that.
He's an unapologetic racist.
Primaries and caucuses, this will be an interesting election. Because I think both with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump, we're going to see how much control the Democratic and Republican parties are going to take away from people who vote in the primaries and how the caucuses run.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at what happened with Ron Paul in 2008, a friend of the show, Mark Lazarczyk, he is one of the voters in the caucus for his area, and they had their votes in, and they had their pick to support Ron Paul, and people above them said, no, you're not voting for him, and like their own party turned against the people who decide where those votes go to and said, sorry, we're overriding you for Ron Paul.
Which is interesting, because the last Democratic caucus I went to was the year
2008.
No, it would have been 2004. It was Bush's... No, 2000.
2000, yeah.
Because since then, the caucus hasn't seemed important enough to go.
You didn't think it was important enough between Obama and Hillary?
Nope.
Interesting.
Yeah, we voted in that.
Yeah. We waited outside in like 20 below weather for that.
No, because Obama was already so far ahead in Minnesota, I was pretty sure it was going to be fine. I don't remember why, but we couldn't go that. Actually, we might have been. Anyway, we were going to go, but there was something that prevented us. Normally, I want to go, but
you,
it just
hasn't
worked out.
You can't absentee in those.
Yeah, you can't.
You can write a letter of support.
But the year that it was Bush and Dole.
Yeah.
Bush and Gore. We went to the primaries, and I voted for Kucinich. Who's super liberal. And it's like, I didn't think he should be president. But I was like, I want to send a message. You know, I was like, I'm going to send a message that as a liberal, I'm tired of the Democratic nominees running to the center.
Yeah.
It's like, let's start being proud of being liberal. Kucinich got the nomination in Minnesota, won the Minnesota caucus that year. So, you know, I don't want to speak for where the Democratic leadership has gone since then in Minnesota, but at least at that time, because that was we were the only state.
Well,
we were the only state
well,
that Kucinich
the,
got.
We're the we're the
like Goldwater
and
Humphrey.
not Humphrey, the other one, the Walter Mondale.
Oh, yeah, right.
The entire country went red for Reagan except for us.
Yeah. But I'm just talking about the caucuses.
No, I will say that this is one of the reasons I don't like Hillary Clinton, is I find her to be too moderate. I think that she is in the pocket of too many people. I think that because she and her husband have been in politics for so long, and granted, so has Bernie Sanders, longer than her even, but the thing is, he's never been on anyone's payroll. He's been notorious for not being swayed by lobbyists. He's got a reputation for that. Whereas Hillary has a reputation, excuse me, I say Bernie and Hillary, I feel bad because I do want to point out that one of the things that's been happening is that Clinton is Hillary and everyone else is often been referred to by their last names.
I think Bernie and Hillary
is a better way to go, but I just want to make sure it's for me, it's not a sexism thing. It's more of a distinguishing between a previous president and...
But it also has something to do with how the campaigns choose to represent themselves. The Clinton campaign clearly puts Hillary
2016
front
and
center.
They always have.
The Trump campaign puts Trump front and center.
I do think, though,
and
that
Bernie is Bernie.
I think that the number one issue that we are facing as a nation right now is wealth disparity. Full stop. I think that that affects everyone, that affects everything, and that there's a lot of stuff that's boiling over. I think racism problems are and class warfare is boiling over because of that. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of increased crime and things like that in certain areas. It's part of why things like Flint, Michigan and other things like that are happening. Things going south like that, and I do not believe that Hillary Clinton is going to do anything to change that, because she gets so much money from the people that stand to lose money in the face of reform
to fix anything.
Whether or not that's true, I think my counter to that is it doesn't even matter what Hillary Clinton would or would not do.
Why?
Because the Republicans are going to hold on to the House.
Maybe.
No, not maybe.
Probably.
The Republicans are going to hold on to the House because this country has been gerrymandered to the point
that
the Republicans can't help but hold on to the House. Unless the next census, after the next census, when they redistrict again, the Democrats have control of enough state houses to be able to re-gerrymander. And by the way, we could do an entire episode about gerrymandering because it pisses the fuck out of me. But the point is, the Republicans are going to hold on to the House. The Democrats are likely going to retake the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
That means the House and the Senate are split. And what that means is, no matter what side you're on, neither side's going to get any fucking shit done.
Except for executive orders, and except for the chance that they decide to get together and put forward legislation that, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes here, reforms banks and reforms Wall Street and money, but it's not what we want. And then Hillary signs it because she is not on the side of the kind of change we need, as far as I'm concerned.
And I don't think that's going to ever end up.
A lot of people are saying things like, "Oh, well, the president doesn't have the power to change that." It's like, right, but he has the power to not agree to things that have like addendums and the kind of stuff that lobbyists get other senators to shove into bills to make it so that their interests are being served. That is where my main concern is that I don't think that she's trustworthy, because she goes wherever people are paying her to go.
The name Clinton, both her and her husband, there is, I mean, politically tarnished.
Yeah.
Preceding his presidency, there.
And by both of them.
By both of them.
Because I really do not care.
I'm not talking about tabloid drama. I'm talking about, like, you know, political consequences and financial dealings. I think that, I mean, if you want an example, what's going to happen if Bernie Sanders was president, you can look at him representing Vermont, and that's like, he's straight up said, it didn't matter what my stance on guns was in Vermont, because I was representing the people of Vermont. People in Vermont own more guns per capita than, you know, 40 other states or something like that. And he's like, my personal opinions didn't matter because of who I was representing and how much I could do on a federal level to affect my state was, you know, nil.
I mean,
but he voted it mattered and did what he could.
I'm going to vote for Hillary if that's who gets the nomination. I will be disappointed and sad, and I will probably, I don't know, maybe that's when we'll start looking more into leaving the country, because honestly, like, I just don't, I think this is one of our last great hopes for fixing stuff and for actually showing that we have a chance to make some change. Well, and I don't, and I think that I've had some people in my family like, oh, you said the same thing about Obama. And I'm like, and I truly believe that that made a difference just because he didn't change the specific stuff you thought he was going to change. Well, like,
I'm a lot more cynical than you. I like Bernie. As I've said, I will vote for Bernie as long as I'm able. Mm-hmm. And it is more likely that he will get the nomination. I don't think it is a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I think he's likely, it's close in Iowa. He's going to win New Hampshire. Those are the first two. If Hillary wins Iowa and he wins New Hampshire, I think it's going to be a race. And frankly, the longer there's a race between those two, I think the better. Because there's a race on the Republican side, and if there's a race on the Democrat side, then people don't forget that there are two parties.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that race continuing. I think there's a chance that Bernie will get the nomination. I just don't believe that Bernie is going to be able to make the things happen that you do. Because I think that the Republicans in Congress are going to lock it down.
Well,
and they're not going to let any of the reforms that need to happen. And the kind of things that you're talking about can't be fixed through executive order.
So, look at something that there's pretty good support. There's pretty even support between the parties, just not a majority of support to overturn something like Citizens United, which there are reasonable Republicans that are against that. There are reasonable Democrats that are against that. There are plenty of both parties that are stand to benefit from not having it gotten rid of. If a bill getting rid of Citizens United comes by, Hillary, why would she get rid of Citizens United? She's all about huge contributions and big donors. If something like that came to Sanders, holy fuck. Well, that would be great. That would be a step forward.
I think so.
That's something that's probable.
Hillary goes where the wind blows, and yes, that's not a strength in one sense, but in another sense, the public is very against Citizens United.
She's where the money lands, not where the wind goes.
I will say this though, I don't necessarily think that Sanders is going to get elected and change things in a year, but I think in 2 years, when it's 2018, and now we have a bunch of Senate races up and a bunch of other House races up, I think it can make a difference, and I think that it can be one of those things where people say, oh, maybe I will vote for the plucky young, you know, person in my race that I didn't think had a chance before. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, it can be a snowball effect, and it doesn't just have to be what he wants to do and what he's able to do. What it can do is it can tell everyone in the country, we can be heard if we fucking get out and vote, and if people who actually have strong and good opinions, like, are willing. I think a lot of people aren't willing to get into politics because it feels like a pointless zero-sum game, and there's no inspired young people going out for stuff anymore.
It would prove everyone wrong that said, someone that uses the word social or socialist would never win anything.
It's always more about the possibility that it could inspire and the future that we could see. And I feel like when I look at someone like Hillary Clinton, I feel like I know what the future's going to be. And it's just going to be the same. I don't think there's going to be anything very different. Other than it's not going to get worse.
Tim, you talk about, you mentioned Republicans not working with a Democratic president, if that's Sanders.
Well, they won't work with Hillary.
I mean, like,
no, what I'm saying is,
Republicans notoriously have
What I'm saying is that whoever's in the White House is going to face the same issues. So Sanders getting elected isn't going to make any of those things happen any more than Hillary's going to make any of those things happen. Sorry, Bernie and Hillary.
That's
kind of my point, that there is, when I look at the impact that a president can have, and my concern with a Trump or a Cruz getting into the White House has everything to do with how they can reshape our laws. Because here's the thing, we talk about Citizens United, but remember, that's a Supreme Court ruling. It's How do you craft a bill that gets around what the Supreme Court has already said is unconstitutional? You need to have a Supreme Court that's going to come in and actually, and because here's the tricky part, is the Supreme Court has never completely overturned itself. But you need to have a Supreme Court that comes in and guts Citizens United to the point that you can do something about it. And that to me is why this game, this political game, is all about the Supreme Court right now. Because until you can have a Congress that isn't going to be split between the houses, you know, like, you know, right now, well, we've got Republican Senate, Republican House, but we've got a Democratic president. So that means they can't get a whole shit ton done. But if there's a Democratic Senate, Republican House, and a Democrat or Republican president, nothing's going to get there at all.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to.
It's true.
Yeah. So
I feel like we had a. I feel like when we had Democrat everything, we didn't have the right kinds of Democrats to make anything happen.
No, we didn't.
Happen.
They didn't do the things that.
They were fucking pussies.
Because I was so angry. It's like when we had a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, they should have done immigration reform right then.
Well, sure.
Yep.
Right then. They had it. They had it in their hands. They had a supermajority in the Senate. They could have passed it. And for whatever reason. They didn't make it happen. They made Obamacare happen, and
it's a bunch of goddamn Democrats. It's that same thing that you mentioned with Wellstone, which is to me is gutless. Is to say, well, I won't get reelected if I piss off just enough people on this one issue. And it's like, well, I mean, I understand that this is part of why I hate politics is because I think that's stupid. I think it's stupid to vote against your conscience because you're worried that if you don't vote against your conscience, people who are against your conscience will be mad at you and won't vote for you. It's like, but they're only voting for you because you lied with your voting. Yeah. And I just, the whole thing is so messy to me that I just don't understand how that works. But
I respect politicians that do what they believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I think that Hillary Clinton has always been supportive of gay rights? I think, yes, she probably has. But I think she was playing the political game by choosing not to come out that way until it was safe.
I mean, you know, she was quoted as, like, talking about DOMA and why she supported it.
Sure.
And I mean, like, the thing
she wasn't
she
one
said,
of those people saying, like, oh, I'm only voting for it because I think that's how the tide is turning.
She's said something along the lines of, I don't want to say, you know, quote here, but paraphrase. She said, marriage is always been between a man and a woman. I don't think that's ever going
religious.
To change.
She's Baptist.
She is very religious. There is that.
Yeah.
But, and the other thing is, and this is a frustration that I've gotten into, not just with Democrat, not like Hillary, I've gotten into this with Republicans, is this concept of flip-flopping, and it seems like we don't allow politicians to change their mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's assume for a moment that what Hillary said is actually what she felt.
Yeah.
And let's assume that she listened and changed her mind.
That's fair.
To me, that's a good thing.
So here's what I would like then. I would like if she said, you're right, I used to be against it, and then I listened to people and changed my mind, instead of, I've always been in favor of it.
Yeah.
I just had to vote that.
I think my overall record shows.
That's what bothers me. Just say, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, about the war. Don't tell me why you still would vote, you still support the. Just say, you're right, I was wrong. I should have voted against that war.
I don't know
what I was thinking. I'm sorry so many people died because I didn't vote against that war.
You know, but Donald Trump's never going to say he's wrong. He never has.
Well, no, but those people on that side are idiots.
He will say he was joking, though.
No, but like Bernie will say, like, that's one of the things I've always loved about Obama, is he admits when he fucks up.
Sure.
And, like, as much as he's, although I will say sometimes the folksy glibness can be a bit much, like when he said, you know, we tortured some folks. It's like, okay, let's not use the word folks as, like, the kind of people who come over to your house for a party, not the people that you lock in a basement and torture.
Yeah.
But in general.
The joking thing is actually what Trump... That I could shoot someone thing he said.
Oh yeah, now he's joking.
I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose any voters.
I wouldn't lose any votes.
Because
my
people are hard, my people are dedicated,
my
and
people
aren't soft.
In me.
My people stick around, whatever it was. Someone confronts him about that in an interview, and they're like, Are you really gonna shoot someone, like, to prove a point? He's like, oh, I was joking. Come on, it's obvious. I was joking.
It's like I'm glad that murder is a joke.
The
to a
fact
president.
That you would make the joke is yep, the problem.
That's the problem.
Of course, it was a joke.
It
was a horrible, horrible.
The fact that
joke.
He's like, the fact that he's acting joke. Like we're assholes for thinking it was real.
And not only was it a horrible joke, it was a joke. And this is what I don't understand about Trump supporters. It was a joke that disrespected the people who are saying they're going to vote for him. It was a joke that said, you know what? I could be the biggest sleazebag in the world and these people would vote for me anyway because they're stupid.
Yep. That's what he said. And they're like, we won, man.
Donald.
It's just like the whole thing Chris Rock always says is like, why are you voting Republican? They hate you. Like, they're doing everything they can, poor people, black people, to try to make it so that your life is awful. Why are you voting against your own interests? Because I don't know what my interests are. Like, I just, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, if you're a conservative, you probably
stopped listening
to this. Probably tuned out of this episode a long time ago.
Probably tuned out like a year ago, honestly. Yeah.
But that was good, you know? We didn't agree on anything, on everything.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a heated conversation.
It wasn't just us jerking each other off, like always.
Yeah. So this one episode. it's time to move on to five questions.
Molly,
do we have five answers from a listener?
We do. We have five answers from, I'm going to try her last name, Robin Ryanimi. And I think I got
her
right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm good at last names, so I'm hoping I got it. So, okay, here we go. This is second time around for the five questions.
All right, Robin, this is your second time answering. Question number one, what is a movie you can stop and watch anytime it's on?
Any James Bond film that doesn't have Roger fucking Moore in it. Bonus points for Sean Connery or Daniel Craig. I agree with that.
Those are good. I think those are the two best. I will staunchly defend some Roger Moore James Bond.
I still haven't seen Spectre.
I'm just saying GoldenEye is my favorite so far. Other than Casino Royale.
I cannot believe that, Molly.
GoldenEye.
It's so fucking cheesy, Robin.
I'm just gonna say, for your eyes only. I know it's a Roger Moore Bond.
For British eyes only.
It's a really good. Just give it a try. Give it a try again. There's some really cheesy Roger Moore, but For Your Eyes Only is a really good Bond.
Boy. Question number two: what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Two posters from Star Trek V: The Final Frontier. When I was living in Washington, D.C., I was seriously bashed in an anti-gay hate crime. I identified as a gay man at the time. I transitioned and identify as a straight woman now. This was a few weeks before Trek 5 came out. Anyone who knows me knows that I loves me some Trek. I was told I would be in the hospital for at least 3 to 4 months. It was that bad. I told my doctors and nurses that I would crawl out of the hospital by myself and drag myself to the first showing opening day. I didn't have to. Two of the nurses who were Trek fans put me into a wheelchair, checked me out of the hospital, and took me to the first showing of Trek 5 at the movie theater at Union Station. The theater manager gave me these two posters when he saw them cart me in. Photo attached. As one might imagine, I was rather down on the entire human race at that point in my life, but the generosity I received on that day was more therapeutic and healing than 100 head shrinkers. It gave me hope when I had so little. I had the posters framed, and they are two of my most dear possessions. To this day, I have so much fondness for Star Trek V: The Final Frontier, I am not capable of judging the movie objectively. Huh. I really think it may just have saved my life.
That's amazing.
That's a great story.
Awesome fucking story, Robin.
I'm serious. Another thing this election is about, and I think that Robin's, it's nice that we got Robin for this. I think trans rights are the next frontier in terms of civil rights. And I tell you right now, there's not a single person in the Republican field there's not a single person in the Republican field who will do anything for trans rights. I do believe Hillary will do something for trans rights, but I believe Bernie will be way better.
I agree. I think Bernie will be better.
That's amazing. That makes me reconsider the rule about odd-numbered Star Trek movies.
She can't judge it objectively.
I don't think I can judge it objectively anymore.
That's how
either.
I feel about GoldenEye.
Question number three: what is what deity or supernatural being do you wish was real?
I gotta go for Odin from the two Marvel Thor movies, or God from the movie Bruce Almighty. Because Anthony Hopkins and Morgan Freeman, bitches. I hope I read that with the right amount of sass. It felt sassy.
That was a lot of sass.
I don't know if we want an all-powerful being who's willing to loan their powers to Jim Carrey.
What about when he gives them to Steve Carell for the Noah stuff in the sequel?
I didn't even watch that one.
Is that a sequel?
Yes,
I didn't know. I haven't seen either.
The sequel is Steve Carell. Yeah, Evan Almighty. Steve Carell gets a beard and has to build an ark, and animals keep showing up at his house.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Gross. All right. Gross. Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Overpopulation. If we didn't have so goddamn many of us, global warming, which was almost my choice here, wouldn't be a problem now.
Yeah, overpopulation, the fact that, and you know, the thing about it is religion drives
overpopulation. Keep fruitful and multiply.
Hey. I mean, also poverty. I mean, poverty. Yeah.
There are a ton of countries, first world countries.
Agriculture.
That are, birth rates are dropping. They're not. In a, they're not in a place where they will sustain population levels. A lot of Europe, Japan, their birth rates won't sustain population levels right now because they're making less people, fewer people than are dying. And in America, they're leveling off really, really well.
And that's actually a good thing.
I think that
you've got to deal with the issues that arise from that.
Things are leveling off where we're probably going to hit like 8 billion and stop ish.
I could see that. You know,
they're saying, but the thing is, if all the first world countries' birth rates are leveling off or declining, what that means is that as we make advances in technology and make cheap solutions to problems in the third world, like clean water and nutritive advances, the new people that are overpopulating the earth are in these places where there's way more industrial pollution, there's way more problems, and so it's... The problems are moving from one place to another.
Population, totally agree. All right. Sorry, we got to get this done.
No, I know.
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
Mark Twain on the Bible. Quote, "It is full of interest. It had noble poetry in it, and some clever fables, and some blood-drenched history, and some good morals, and a wealth of obscenity, and upwards of 1,000 lies."
Ha!
And then she says, Mark Twain. "Anyway, I love the podcast. I binge listen to it when I need to be reminded that atheists can be hilarious." Ha. Robin, ha! It says pronounced Ryanimi. Molly wins.
Yay!
"I'm Finnish. Lots of us have awesome names. Ha ha ha. Molly wins last names. Right, Mimi?" Yeah, Robin. And there is a picture of her posters, which we will put in the show notes. So
awesome. So I guess to finish this out, I'm just going to say, you know, wherever you are on the political spectrum, I hope you found our thoughts interesting or enlightening or at least amusing at times. I'm going to encourage you to get out and vote for somebody.
Yes.
If you've got a primary coming up, if you like Bernie, get out and support him. If you like Hillary, get out and support her. And remember that come this fall, if Trump is the nominee, we're going to need everybody to keep that motherfucker out of the White House because that has to fucking happen.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Full disclosure, I think caucuses are really important, but holy fuck are they boring.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
What? Not connected to the internet, my ass.